Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey everybody, welcome to Forever 35. This is a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves, and I am Kate Elizabeth Spencer.
Wow, you really said that with gusto, Kate.
You know, my middle name was added late in life.
Really?
Yeah, I was not given one at birth.
Okay, Kate, neither was I.
You're a non-middle, but did you stay that way?
Also, by the way,
add one.
I'm Dori Shafrir. No, they never added one, and I was dying for one my whole life. And then they gave one to my sister.
Oh, that is cold.
I know. It was so cold. And I was like, what? Why does she get one? And they were like,
They didn't even have an answer.
They didn't even really have an answer. Anyway, we're not experts.
No,
we're just two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
Middle nameless friends. Although now I have one.
So they were just like, oh, okay, you can have one?
They were like, well, when you're old enough, you can choose. And then I chose, and I chose horse because I loved horses.
Oh my God.
And then they were like, I love you. It's not going to be that. It's going to be Elizabeth after your grandmother, which they could have just done
right,
when
why
I
did
was
they
born.
Does your brother have a middle name?
He was also given one later, which is my mom's maiden.
That is so interesting.
Horse would have been so good. Kate Horse Spencer.
I can't believe you didn't name any of your children horse.
Give them my pass the name down.
Yeah.
Horse Junior.
Horse the third. Anyway.
All kids should be allowed to name themselves.
Yeah.
Or name a sibling. I don't know. I'm reaching here.
One of my husband's coworkers allowed their 3-year-old to name her sibling.
And what did she choose?
I believe she chose Juniper.
That kid is like in on hip Los Angeles names.
Yeah.
There are a lot of cool Junipers walking around.
Totally.
That's a good choice. Yeah. I feel like if my kids chose, it would literally, they were calling me Professor Penis Peepee. And that is what they would have chosen. That was a
recent
creation.
It's like basically the Bodie McBody face of.
What's that? I don't know who that is.
Oh, there was a whole thing like a couple years ago where there was some ship in the UK and they were like, we're going to have a contest where people can name this ship. And as a joke, someone like put Bodie McBody face. And that was what won.
Oh, my God.
Oh. Anyway.
Before we get rolling.
Yeah.
Let's just do a quick check-in.
Let's do that.
We both have really exciting things happening for us this week. Mine is that I have a rash underneath my nose from a product gone wrong.
Oh no.
I think.
Kate, this is one of the hazards of this podcast.
Listen,
it's a miracle it hasn't happened yet.
I know. Honestly, it's true. The amount of crap I'm layering all over my body. I think it's from this little face washing sponge that I use that I was very excited about. And I used it in the shower. I also don't think I properly softened it. And I used it and then immediately had in the shower noticed bumps on my upper lip. And I was like, uh-oh.
Oh.
And now they're kind of like, it's like this pussy crust situation.
Oh, dear.
Can you tell sitting
no,
2 feet across from
me? I didn't notice.
Oh, good. Oh, good.
And then you pointed it out. And I still, like, you look a little, maybe a tiny bit red.
Okay.
Like, if I'm staring at your...
Again in there.
Nose, your nasolabial folds, I can kind of see a little bit of redness, but, like, I wouldn't be like, oh, Kate really needs to take care of that.
Take care of that pussing situation. Yeah. I don't know what is exactly happening, but I also have a cold, so I'm constantly up in this area of my face right now. So it's just very itchy and unpleasant.
And so it was probably already sensitive.
I was already feeling it. But you know, again, everything could be worse. The fact that all that, that the most challenging thing physically for me right now is a rash under my nose. I'll take it.
Yeah.
It's okay.
All right. That's very zen of you.
Thank you. You know, I'm trying.
Yeah, I hear that. I got my extensions taken out this week.
Do listeners know that you had extensions?
I believe I may have alluded to them once or twice. We never went in depth on them.
When you first told me at some point in our friendship that you had hair extensions, it was a very eye-opening moment for me because I live in the world assuming everybody's hair is just their hair.
Yeah.
I'm a clueless dummy. And tell me about your hair extensions. Was it freeing to get them removed?
Yes. Although now every time I look in the mirror, I'm like, oh, my hair looks so thin.
It doesn't. It looks great.
Thank you.
And you got them originally because you felt like your hair was thin and you wanted some oomph.
Yes, I wanted some oomph. I had tape in extensions for anyone who's familiar with extensions. And I had two pieces put on each side of my head. So I didn't have any put in the back, just on the sides, because I felt like that was where it was thinnest. And I don't know, I just felt like it gave me a little extra zhuzh.
And what was your catalyst for taking them out?
So I have been thinking about possibly getting this body wave.
Go on. You know, I a few days ago, I Googled like perms.
Yeah. So there's a newish perm that is whenever people write about it, they're like, this isn't your mother's perm. It's called a digital perm. Oh. And it doesn't use like the harsh chemicals that perms used to use. And it basically just gives you the beachy waves that everybody wants.
That we all aspire for.
Yes. And like, which I can do with a curling iron, but like, who's going to do that every day? Not me. So I was sort of looking into this and I was like, you know what? Maybe I will get this perm and that will be the solution to all of my problems. So in preparation for the day that I get this perm, I was like, you know what? I should get my extensions taken out. Oops. Also, P.S. extensions are really expensive to maintain. And I was kind of getting sick of paying to maintain them.
Yeah.
So I was like,
money in your pocket is a good thing.
So I was like, you know what? Let me look into this perm. And then even if I don't get the perm, maybe I will just not wear the extensions for a while. So that was kind of the thinking behind it.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's exciting stuff.
Also, I think there's a misconception that like if you get extensions, you're like Kylie Jenner.
Right. That you have long. That would certainly be my misconception. That you have like a long flowing situation.
But you can get short hair extensions. I mean, I've also... like, I don't want to get too sidetracked, but I've lately thought I would wear a wig.
Okay. I mean, that's great.
Yeah. Like,
you could get a wig.
I could get a wig. I mean, I live in a neighborhood with a lot of Orthodox Jewish women who all wear wigs. They all wear like very nice, expensive, real looking. I mean, some of them look realer than others, but they look pretty real. And like, I thought, I bet some of them, like, that's not even, like, what their real hair looks like.
Now, let me ask you a question. Could you also just be at peace with your hair? With your own hair?
I could, Kate. But...
is there, like, a let go and let hair that could happen? Or
there
do you...
is. It saddens me. My hair saddens me.
And you have to look at your hair.
And I have to look at my hair every day. And it's one of like, I feel like with skincare, it's kind of easier to see sort of immediate results. And with hair, it's like, yeah, I can go back to taking biotin. That sort of helps. There's another supplement called Viviscal that a lot of people take that does grow your hair. And I took it briefly and it made me break out really badly.
Okay.
Which is apparently a side effect that some people have. I had it and I was like, you know what? This isn't worth it. So, you know, I think another, like, I don't know. My hair isn't so thin that it looks like I'm going bald, but like I do, it's like thinning and I just don't like it.
Yeah. I don't blame you.
So
I mean, that's,
I don't know.
We all have our things about us that that just, you look in the mirror and you feel like there's a big spotlight on the one
totally
thing.
And I was like, maybe I'll look into a wig.
Keep us posted on this.
I will. I also think if I got a wig, I would get something like, I would get like long, like curly, thick, like just something like the complete opposite of what I have.
It would be, I would love it if you got a wig and the wig was just your current hair.
Well, funny you say that. One time, Matt and I were at Ralph's, the supermarket. They're like a supermarket in LA. And we were at the one that's like in the heart of the Orthodox Jewish neighborhood. And he said, I was like, I had my back to him and he thought I was an Orthodox Jew because my hair looked so like straight and shiny that he thought it was a wig.
What a compliment. That's very nice.
It was very nice.
You have wig quality hair.
I could have wig quality hair. So anyway, so that's everything that happened
this
week.
That's where we're at.
Yeah, that's where we're at.
Rashes and wigs.
Rashes and wigs. I also had an egg retrieval this morning.
Well, that's a huge deal.
Which is bigger than getting my extensions out. And so, yeah, I'm just kind of feeling like, all right, I went to aromatherapy meditation last night.
To get in the mind to kind of calm you for.
Yeah, because normally I would go to restorative yoga, but you're not supposed to do any twists.
Oh.
Because they don't want your ovaries to twist or explode. Because you have all these eggs in them that are bigger than usual.
Okay.
So I was like, well, I was like, it would probably be fine if I went to restorative yoga. Like, let's be honest. But
I know. Don't.
Why take that chance? No. So I went to aromatherapy meditation, which basically just consisted of the instructor like passing around a bottle of essential oil and like rubbing it in our hands and then leading us through meditation, which was really nice, actually.
That sounds lovely.
Yeah, it was lovely. A lot of you have been emailing us and messaging us, and it's amazing.
It's
and
like the best thing that has ever happened.
We would just like to say thank you. And we've been talking about some stuff that we will probably announce soonish about getting more of your reader requests into the show.
Yeah.
So just stay tuned.
I'm
for
organizing
that.
Them into a document.
Kate is on it.
I don't know if I would say I'm on it. I'm about to be on it.
Kate is about to be on it, and I'm excited.
There's also stuff that people are messaging about that we... not only are we not experts and just two friends who like serums, but there's some stuff that I think neither of us have experience with.
Yeah.
So we'll have to figure out how to do a deeper dive on topics that we don't know anything about.
But we just want you all to know that we are reading everything, and we are figuring out ways to... address
so many product reviews,
yeah,
advice,
so much. It's amazing.
It's the best.
And also we are starting a newsletter, a monthly newsletter, that's just kind of be a greatest hits of the last month of the podcast with some bonus content.
Get in there
and some product reviews, maybe going back to what I just alluded to. And you can sign up on our website, forever35podcast.com. You've got a little pop-up that lets you sign up.
Yep. And join our Facebook group. The conversation
is... Oh, my God.
Off the chain.
It is literally... Like, I have had people unsolicited say to me that it's their favorite place on the internet, our Facebook group.
Listen, let's hope it stays that way.
I know. It's so nice right now.
And there's even an offshoot group that's just formed where you can swap products with people, which is amazing.
Yes. And I'm planning on listing a bunch of stuff.
Oh, good.
Actually, now that we're recording at my house tonight, and Kate, now that you're here, I'm going to show you the bag full of stuff that I have to swap. And actually, if you want anything, you can take it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Love to go shopping in that bag.
Great. Sammy, you too.
Okay, great.
There we go. And if you are enjoying the show, just please do us a massive favor and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. That's a big help.
It's a huge help. And also tell a friend.
Tell everybody.
Yeah, tell everybody. And also just a reminder that everything we talk about is always going to be on our website, forever35podcast.com.
Speaking of, can we knock out a couple product?
Yes. Let's do it.
We've got a lot planned for tonight. So we're just going to get in.
Buckle up, everyone.
All right, listen.
Yes, Kate.
We have fun when we do a little high-low product recommendation.
We do.
And can I kick it off with my low?
I would love you to.
So this is a cult fave.
Yes.
And it was recommended to me by so many people, and I finally got it at Target. It's the Pixi Glow Tonic.
I've heard such amazing things about this stuff.
It's awesome.
Tell me what it does.
Okay, so it's an exfoliating toner.
Okay.
And it's 5% glycolic acid.
Oh.
And
can I smell it?
You know what? I even brought you a little pad.
Oh my God.
If you wanted to put a little on the pad. Hold on. I've got to reach down.
Guys.
Kate? I mean, but don't, it's not that thoughtful. I literally brought one and this is how stingy I am. Ooh. There we go. Here it is.
I also have, since we are in my home, I have pads.
Well, you know, I just thought.
Thank you.
You never know.
See.
That's okay. Okay. So listen, so this stuff you get at Target, it's, I first think I heard about it because beauty editors talk about it.
Oh.
And I feel like where there's a beauty editor, that's where I should go. Mm-hmm. And it's my low product because the bottle that Dory's using, I got for $15. And it's a small bottle. It's not huge, but a little goes a long way. So it's lasted me a long time.
And it's 3.4 fluid ounces.
Yeah, that's pretty good. You could fly in a plane with it.
Totally.
And it comes in three sizes. So there's a tinier one that's $6, this one that's $15, and then a big, big one that's $29. So if you wanted to take it for a test ride and you could find the $6 one at Target, I would do that. And let me tell you a little bit about why I like it.
Kate, I think I also read that Pixie does not test on animals.
I don't know because I didn't do that research.
I believe it is a cruelty-free product.
I hope so. I'm a ding-dong for not looking. Wait, did I? No, I did write that down. Cruelty-free.
Yeah.
That is here in my notes.
I think it's cruelty-free.
So it's 5% glycolic, which I think like there's a drunk elephant glycolic serum, and I think that is... a little bit higher, but I feel like this is a comparable product. Mm. Now, obviously a serum is going to do different things. I think, again, I don't know for sure, but I think, but this has the same kind of exfoliating properties. And there's also a little bit of aloe vera mixed in. So it's gentle, it's on the skin. Yeah. It's definitely an exfoliating toner. I don't use it every day. And I use it at night because I think if you're going to use it in the morning, you would need sunscreen. Oh. I mean, you need sunscreen no matter what,
right?
You should just be extra careful with a product like this to make sure you put on some sort of sun protectant afterward.
And that's because of the glycolic acid.
Yes. Okay. It makes you extra sensitive to sun, but I just find this like a very nice kind of, it just kind of cleans stuff up, brightens a little bit. You know,
Kate, question.
Yes.
If one were to use this in where in the skincare routine would one use
it? Here's what I do, Dory. It's called a toner, but I don't use it. I use it as like my main thing. So I would wash.
Yep.
And then I would use this. And then I would put on my layer of moisturizer.
Okay.
Like an oil. This is at night, like a
face. Would you put a serum on over it or no?
I kind of think of this as my...
As a serum. Okay.
Especially because a lot of the things I'm using, like a retinol or the Sunday Riley Good Jeans, they all are kind of exfoliating. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's just my one thing.
Got it.
And I'm trying not to over exfoliate and like rip my skin off. So.
Yes.
That's it. That's my thing. And they also
love it.
They make a serum. Pixie makes a glow serum in this family of products. There's a bunch of different products kind of in this line. I haven't tried any of them, but I have friends who love them and swear by them. So
great.
And just, you know, this is available at Target.
I'm going to get that.
It's a great, I love it.
I can't wait.
Yeah. It's a great addition to the gang. Do you have a low you want to share?
I do. And I also got it at Target.
Oh, I know what you have. And I love that stuff too.
Okay. So I got the NYX Butter Gloss.
I have a different other NYX lip glosses and they're the best.
Yeah. So NYX is great. I did a little reading up on NYX. And the founder of NYX was 25 when she started the company in 1999. And her whole thing was that she wanted to create department store makeup at drugstore prices.
Cool.
So that was like, thing going into it. And then she sold the company to L'Oreal in, I think, 2014 for like a gajillion dollars. So one of the results of that is that even though NYX doesn't test on animals, L'Oreal does. So that's just something to be aware of. Their own, their parent company.
This is news to me.
Is L'Oreal.
Yeah. I learned this, I mean, via shout out once again to Natch Butte.
Yeah.
Excellent podcast for natural beauty.
Yeah. Products. So natural, yeah. I think in the natural beauty community, some people, you know, don't use products that are owned by companies that test on animals, even if the lines themselves do not test on animals. So just as a heads up. Anyway, so I chose the Butter Gloss because I like the name of it.
It's so pretty.
It's so pretty. I got two very neutral shades that are almost the same. One is called Creme Brulee and one is called Tiramisu.
Two delicious desserts.
Two delicious desserts. Would you like to put them on your hand?
Sure.
Okay.
Because my lips look exactly like my hands. I've never understood this, but that's really pretty. I like that.
It's nice, right?
This is the Creme Brulee.
Okay. Yeah.
Also, it's pink. It's not. Have you ever had a pink Creme Brulee?
Oh, that's true. No, I've not. I've not had a pink tiramisu either.
I don't know if I've ever had. Ooh, these are so pretty.
Yeah, they're really pretty. They go on really nicely. Stay on. They come in a bunch of different shades. And then they also have, like you said, they have a bunch of other lip gloss lines that are all very affordable. The Butter Gloss, I believe, is one of their more expensive ones at $6.99. So, you know, compared to department store or Sephora lip glosses, they're very affordable and I really like them.
Yeah,
so
those
that
are
is
nice.
It's very nice. They feel great. They don't smell weird. I'm a fan.
Most importantly,
they don't smell weird. So those are my lows for the night.
You want to do knock out an eye?
I do.
Mine is a hair product.
Oh,
hold on. Let me obtain it.
Okay. We haven't done much hair stuff.
That's because hair is still a mystery to me.
That is intense.
Doesn't this look like something you would have owned in 1992?
It sure does. Even the coloring of
everything
it somehow.
Okay, so what I'm holding in my hand is called the Revlon One Step Hair Dryer and Volumizer. I want you to know that Sammy, our producer, is looking at me in a mystified way.
To be fair, Sammy has short hair.
Sammy,
so
you could still use this on your hair. It would volumize
really?
It. I don't know. Yeah. It would take your hair would dry in 2 seconds. So what it looks like is a giant round brush with a huge handle. And it's a hair dryer that a friend recommended.
Yes.
And it's $59.
Okay.
So I would say, as you and I were chatting about hair dryers, yeah. I've always been of the like $15 hair dryer at a drugstore family.
Yeah.
So $59 for a hair dryer, like that's a bigger purchase for me. Let me tell you though, this thing. So it's a giant round brush that blows hot air. So you just brush your wet hair with this thing and that's how you dry it. You don't use a traditional hair dryer.
Mm-hmm.
And it has made my life so much better.
Wow.
I don't know how to blow dry my hair. I've never been good at it.
Yep.
I even this year Costco, my home away from home, was selling fancier hair dryers, something called the T3.
Oh yeah, the T3 is a good hair dryer and a very expensive hair dryer.
Well, it was like $60 at Costco.
Oh, that is cheap.
Well, listen, everybody get on board with a Costco membership. That is where the products are. excuse me. And so I bought this thinking the fancy hair dryer would change my life. I still had flyaways. I still didn't know how to blow dry my hair. I still can't figure out how to round brush and dry at the same time.
Mm.
This freaking tool does it all. And my hair looks very nicely dried when I'm done.
Yeah, it does
look
nice.
Well, thank you. I did it tonight.
Yeah, it looks
it's
shiny.
It's fast. So I just spritz a little Redken, you know, whatever hair protectant stuff that I got at the Ulta store.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just use this.
And that's it.
That's it.
How long does it take you?
5 minutes.
Wow. Okay.
I have naturally pretty straight hair.
Yeah.
But when it air dries, it just looks like flat with weird crinkle waves in it.
I'm with you.
And so I feel much more comfortable and confident when I've blow dried my hair. And plus the blow dry lasts me for, you know, 2 to 3 days. So I don't know. This thing is like almost as good as getting a blowout.
Wow. Kate, that is...
I mean, that's a ringing endorsement. That
is a
little
ringing
high,
endorsement.
But it's great. And if you go onto Amazon, which is where I got it, and you look at other people's reviews and photos, people with curly hair are using this thing to straighten?
Because, okay, my mom uses a hairdryer that just has like a brush attachment.
I also think my mother-in-law uses that, which I love. I've used it at her house.
My mom, it doesn't look, my mom, no, doesn't really work. And so I was always sort of skeptical of the combo hairdryer brush situation. So the fact that you're endorsing it makes me, I'm reconsidering my whole outlook.
I would 100% reconsider.
Wow. Okay.
And if you're, I don't know if I could have returned this after using it, because obviously my hair was all up in it.
Mm.
But if you can find it at a place where you can try it and return it and see if you like it.
Mm.
I don't know. It has replaced my hair dryer. I don't use the other hair dryer at all.
Okay.
So
I'm going to try it.
Yeah, this is it. This is it for me.
So, Kate, my high product, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a little embarrassed to talk about it.
Well, is it because it costs the same as the hairdryer?
Yes.
I just talked about?
And it's a lipstick. So my high product is a Tom Ford lipstick.
When you told me how much this cost, I didn't know a lipstick could cost this much money.
Kate, to be perfectly honest with you, I did not either.
And then how did you find out?
So,
can I look at it?
Yes.
And what inspired you to buy the specific Tom Ford lipstick in Devore?
Yes.
Okay.
You know, I had heard tell of the mythical Tom Ford lipstick as like this unicorn product, that it was the best lipstick that, you know, no other lipstick could come close to the Tom Ford lipstick. I'd never tried the Tom Ford lipstick. And then when I was in Palm Springs over Christmas, we went to the outlets, which are right outside Palm Springs. And we, for some reason, wandered into the Tom Ford store. And as our looking at these, you know, $2,000 evening gowns and sort of like laughing. And then I noticed that they had a display of makeup and perfume. And I was like, oh, the elusive Tom Ford lipstick. I'm just going to go check these out.
And did you think you'd be getting an outlet price on the lipstick?
Kate, I did. So I'm like trying all these lipsticks, and like this one, it feels so nice. It goes on so smooth. Did you put it on your hand?
I didn't.
Put it on your hand.
I will. Okay. It's pretty. The color's really
beautiful. The color's gorgeous. And so I was like, you know what? I don't think I bought anything else that day. And so I was like, I'm going to buy this Tom Ford lipstick. And there were no prices listed on anything, by the way, any of the makeup. So I go up to the counter, I you know, give the guy my lipstick, and he's like, that will be $58.
Oh my God.
And I was like, what? Like, oh, I literally was like, what? Like, I knew it would be expensive, but I thought it would be like $35, which is crazy, but not insane.
But you justify.
And he said $58. And I said, I literally was like, oh, is that the outlet price? And he was like, no, we don't give a discount on the makeup. And I was like, oh, okay. And I just paid for it because I was so flustered and taken aback and like scandalized that a lipstick could even cost $58 that I just bought it like in an altered state. So now I own a $58 lipstick. I will never buy this lipstick again.
It's beautiful.
But if you are a listener who can afford a $58 lipstick,
call us and send us lipsticks.
Call us and send us lipsticks. But also buy this lipstick. It is so nice. So I'm endorsing it because I feel like people should know that it is actually a really nice lipstick. Is it worth $58? No.
That is an expensive. I would be so nervous carrying it around.
I would be. Yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous. I don't know. I guess it's all relative. If you're someone who is wealthy, $58 on a lipstick might not seem like that much money. So
how much higher can you go?
I don't know.
Do they get more expensive?
I have no idea.
Again, I wear Black Honey by Clinique. That's kind of, and then like a Glossier thing.
Which, yeah.
Those are like 15 bucks.
I think Black Honey, I think it's like 24 or something.
It is?
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
It's been a while since I bought a Black Honey.
Yeah. So anyway.
Still using the one I've had since 1995.
Look, I bring it up because I felt like I needed to just talk about it.
I love that. I know that moment though, where you go to buy something thinking it's a lower price than it is.
Yeah.
And then you still buy it because you're in this weird panic state.
Yes.
Where you're like almost embarrassed and then you feel like you have to get it.
Yes.
I know that weird moment.
Yes.
Well, it's very pretty.
Thank you. So I think now we're going to pause for a word from our sponsor.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
You know, one thing I think is really kind of interesting about skin, my skin, but all skin, is that like what it needs now in my 40s is not what I needed in my 30s.
Totally.
Definitely not what I needed in my 20s.
Mm-hmm.
But like, how are you supposed to know what your skin needs?
It's hard. It's hard to know.
Especially when there's just like so many products out there. The overwhelm is real. It's a struggle to even know how to get the results you want, what products to start with. This is why we're super excited to partner with Apostrophe. Apostrophe is a prescription skincare company that offers science-backed medications that are clinically proven to help. I have used Apostrophe. I love it. They will pair you with a board-certified dermatologist who literally creates a personalized treatment plan for your skin. I have done this a few times now. It is so easy to do their online consultation. You upload photos. And like within a few weeks, I had done a consultation and received my treatment plan and my product.
Amazing.
And that is how I became a tretinoin gal. I love the tretinoin that they sent me. I love their sunscreen. Both products have been amazing on my skin. And you, Forever 35 listeners, can get a special deal from Apostrophe. You can get your first visit for only $5. That's at apostrophe.com/forever35 when you use our code forever35. Now, that is a savings of $15. I like that. This code is only available to Forever 35 listeners. So to get started, just go to apostrophe.com/forever35 and click get started. And then use our code forever35 at sign up and you will get your first visit for only $5. Thank you, Apostrophe, for sponsoring this episode.
I think it's safe to say that we have suffered through bras. We've been uncomfortable in them. We've devoted whole episodes to finding good ones. But I'm here to say enough is enough. Enough. Enough.
I mean, drawn the line. Dory, have I ever told you what I did in college when I needed a bra to wear with a fancy dress?
What?
I cut the top of pantyhose and then I duct taped that to my chest.
Oh. Sounds uncomfortable.
Because I didn't have honey love when I was in college.
No. Well, we are here to say no more being uncomfortable.
With no.
With Honey Love's bras, you will wonder why it took so long to make something so comfortable and so supportive. There's no underwire, but through some kind of wonderful magic, they managed to not sacrifice lift. All while making it in a fabric that's so comfortable, you barely know it's there. Especially the crossover bra. I wear one of these almost every day. I'm wearing one right now because it's so comfortable and it easily fits into my life. But if you like a breathable and versatile legging, Honeylove has you covered on that front too. Plus, they have tanks, shapewear, and their V-bra that has molded cups still without the underwire to keep you from getting that dreaded uniboob effect other more relaxed bras tend to give you. So treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/forever. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/forever. After your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support our show and tell them we send you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it.
Okay, we're back. So, Kate, you wanted to talk about your bedtime routine.
I do. I did and I do.
Okay.
Because my whole life, falling asleep has been a challenge for me.
Yeah.
I'm a very anxious person, and sometimes my anxious mind really runs at night.
Yeah.
And also when I'm having, I kind of recently realized that anxiety is like a chronic illness for me, and I'll always have it, and it comes and goes. I mean, it's always around, but sometimes it really flares up for me. And in one way it does is it disrupts my sleep. I don't have insomnia, but I'll do the thing where I guess it is insomnia, where I have a night where I can't fall asleep until like 5 in the morning,
God.
And my mind is racing, and it's, you know, I'll take a Xanax and it still doesn't stop the racing. And so I've kind of worked on sleep a lot in my life. And I'm also trying to work on cutting my phone out of my life a little bit more, because I think my phone makes my going to sleep habits worse. So I want to talk about a little bit about what I've been doing.
Hit me.
To help me fall asleep.
Okay.
Especially because as women, I'm a mom also, and my kids, you know, like they're up early.
Yeah.
You know, there's never a day, like even if I have the flu, I still have to get up with these mofos and get, you know, get going. It's so there's, you know, and it's very, sleep is important.
Yeah.
I think sleep helps me be a more patient parent.
Yeah.
And a better parent, kinder parent.
Mm-hmm.
So when I don't get enough sleep, I'm not a good mom. And I'm not good at work. I'm not good at anything.
Yeah.
So sleep is crucial.
Sleep deprivation is real.
It sucks. It really is. It really is hard. And I think falling asleep and having a good practice at bedtime is not something we're ever like taught.
Totally.
So here's what I've been doing. I've got like layers of things that I do.
I can't wait to hear.
And I'm describing things. I'm never perfect at this. This is all an experiment for me, and I don't do all of these at once. It's not like I have this all figured out.
Okay.
It's just things that I'm trying to implement. So the first thing I do, and a perfect night,
yes,
is that I have a soothing beverage towards the end of the evening.
Lovely.
Before I go to bed.
Okay.
I bought this Gaia Golden Milk, which I heard advertised on a podcast that my kids listen to.
Podcast advertising works.
It works. And then I saw it in a store and I was like, well, the podcast told me to buy it.
Totally.
But I mix it with some warm almond milk.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
And it's like a turmeric tea. And it's really nice and calming. But I also want to recommend another product, which is called Natural Calm, which is like, I believe, a magnesium product that I mix into hot water. So I drink some sort of thing to help me calm down.
Okay.
Then after I leave my phone in the kitchen so that I'm not looking at it.
Great.
Which I want to be so badly because I'm so addicted to my phone.
Mm.
I want to bring it with me into the bathroom to do my like face wash, pee, toothbrushing routine, listen to something, look at something, but I try to leave it away.
Yeah.
So that my brain starts to shut down.
Yeah.
Once I'm done,
I don't bring mine into the bathroom when I do my skincare routine.
I want it there so fucking badly. It's like my body is literally jonesing for it.
That's going to end.
I hope so.
It will. You're going to break that habit.
I'm really trying to not have my phone in the bedroom with me at bedtime, because I will stare at it and then it gets me, my brain rolling. It gets me all
And then you
up.
Turn around and you've been awake for like 2 more hours.
Yes, 1 a.m. and suddenly I'm panicking. So after that's all said and done, when I get into bed, I have numerous tools around me to help me calm down.
Okay.
I use a white noise machine. I was using the white noise app on my phone, but
you don't want to
get rid of that phone.
Yeah.
I bought a lectern white noise machine.
And you like it?
It's the best.
Okay.
I looked it up on Wirecutter, which is a website that recommends products. And that was the one they recommended. And I bought it, and it is amazing. The white noise is so much better than the phone app.
Oh.
I can blast it really high, and it just helps.
And your husband is okay with this?
Oh, yeah. He has a fan going on his side of the bed
for
his own personal white noise.
Okay.
No, it's like sounds like a motor is running in our bedroom at all times. It's very loud. I also use an essential oil diffuser. And I like to have that going also. And I blast. I brought a bunch of different oils, but my favorite is lavender, which is a calming.
Yeah, that is a calming.
This is something I bought at Marshall's. You do not need, I don't think, maybe someone who's into oils would tell you you need really fancy essential oil. I got it at Marshall's.
Great.
It was like $5.
Great.
The diffuser, also recommended on Wirecutter. It's like a really affordable one and it's great.
Amazing.
So I like having that going and I blast the lavender scent into my face. If these things are not working, I take a melatonin.
Okay.
I have numerous tools. One would be my Trader Joe's chewable melatonin.
Okay.
That makes me really tired. It also gives me really weird dreams. Like definitely a very recent dream I had about my mom's ghost coming to talk to me.
Oh, wow.
Was a melatonin dream.
Okay.
Maybe you like insane, like really active dreams. Okay. No. Well, you don't. You have sleep scares. You should not take melatonin. But it does, as a natural sleep aid, melatonin is very helpful. Okay. I also have talked about this a little bit, but about a year ago, I got my medical marijuana card.
Right.
And I got a tincture of an indica oil. And if I'm feeling really anxious or I need help kind of calming down, I'll take that. And that works. And there's no side effect the following morning. For example, lovely. Which I've also had Xanax and Ativan prescribed to me, which are good tools if you can use them in a way that aren't addictive. But
yeah.
This was just another option. I'm not a pot smoker. I don't actually like marijuana, which is very confusing for people because I'm a huge fan of the band Phish. They're my favorite band. I've seen them over 100 times and I don't smoke pot. And I was really nervous to try this kind of medical marijuana, but it's been really a real helpful part of helping me kind of manage my anxiety and helping me rest. And then also another thing that has helped me a lot is meditating as I fall asleep. Yeah.
And when you say meditating as you fall asleep, how do you do it?
I learned transcendental meditation.
Oh.
And I'm using it in a way that they do not teach you to use it, which means I don't listen to me. But there's like certain, the way they teach you to practice TM is very specific, but I just kind of repeat a mantra and it helps me calm down. I physically feel like very calm and grounded and I
love
just do
that
as I try to fall asleep. Another thing I was doing is I will like, I'm working on a novel, Dory.
Oh,
and
yes.
I will almost do this every night where I, will like visualize the characters in my head and like,
ooh.
And they just like, I like fantasize about them.
I love that.
And I do that a lot. That's another way I fall asleep is I like get in and I'm like, time to imagine my characters having.
That feels really powerful.
It's super I've always had to kind of visualize as I fall asleep, but I used to, the reason I started going to therapy when I was 25 is because I would go to bed and then I would sit there and imagine what it would feel like when my grandparents and parents died.
Oh God.
Yeah. And then I would sit there and cry and get all worked up. Yeah. So this is kind of a variation of that obsessive compulsive thinking that I have, but it's a more, it's kind of a way of self-soothing.
Yeah.
And if I'm not doing that, I'm trying to kind of just meditate to calm my body down.
And that has really, all of these steps have really
all
helped you?
All of these things combined, if I'm doing them, a lot of nights I'm not and I'm sitting on my phone, again, looking at animal rescues at 2 a.m.
Yeah, no.
But when in a perfect world, I'm using these tools to kind of help me calm down at the end of the day and get rest.
That sounds really lovely.
I'm trying. Do you have a sleep routine? Do you have stuff that helps you?
I do. So falling asleep is not my issue.
Ugh, you're one of those people who just like rolls over and falls asleep.
Yeah. But then I wake up 25 minutes later with a night terror.
Oh God.
So, you know, there's trade-offs.
That's true.
So yeah, I don't have trouble falling asleep, but I do have a routine that I will share with everyone, which is I put my phone in my office and that my phone and my Apple Watch I put in my office, and that is kind of like, okay, now I'm going to bed. Like now bedtime has started. And then I usually go into my bathroom and I start my nighttime skincare routine. And depending on what I'm doing, like if I'm doing a mask, it'll take me a little longer, but like usually takes me like 5 to 7 minutes to like do the whole thing and like go to the bathroom. And I have my glass of water that I bring to my nightstand. And then I read for a little while, and I usually just like, I usually get so tired as I'm reading that I have to put my Kindle or my book away and turn out the light, and I like immediately fall asleep. Now, all of that being said, with night terrors, it helps to have a consistency with your sleep routine. So like I do try to go to bed around the same time every night. Like,
which is what time?
I try to be in bed by like 10:30, quarter of 11, and like lights out by 11. And then another thing that I have found helpful is that since I moved to LA, it's a lot quieter, even though I live near kind of a main street and you can hear like road noise. There was a lot of apartment noise when I lived in New York that I since determined I was sort of like, my brain was hearing those noises in my sleep. Ooh. And like processing them as scary. And they would also wake me up a lot. And so I was getting like bad sleep when I lived in New York. And my sleep since I moved to LA has generally been better. And my night terrors are a lot less severe, which I've talked about on the podcast as well. Like I will wake up and it will be like slightly scary, or it'll be weird, but it won't be like, you know, violent. And I have to tell you, I had a hilarious night terror the other night. I woke up, Matt was in bed with me, and I said, I don't have my mask on.
Tori, even your night terrors are podcast related.
Oh, I'm having skincare night terrors. And Matt was like, Matt just started laughing.
Oh my God.
And was like, your mask. Are you having a skincare night terror?
Oh my God.
And I was like, I'm not wearing my mask. But the thing about night terrors is they feel so real and they feel so urgent. And it was like, it was basically like in my mind, it was like, if I'm not wearing my mask, I'm going to die. But then I woke up and then I went back to sleep. So that's how a night terror works. And so, yeah. So my routine, that's generally my routine. I someone gave me like a lavender spray that I was spritzing on my pillow for a while. I can't find it. It was lovely. Mm. I have a diffuser. I might use it.
I love it. I never thought about using it to help me calm down at night, but it's really nice.
Yeah. So I might do that. I love your routine. When I remember, I'll have a cup of like chamomile or sleepy time tea. And I do like that kind of like, all of these things are just sort of like indicators to me like, okay, it's like wind down time. Yeah. But yeah, not having a phone or an iPad in my bedroom is like the major thing for me.
I think that's key. Cause I realized I wasn't reading at all. And I keeping the iPhone out of my room means like I pick up the book next to my bedside on my bedside table.
Yeah.
But it's the phone is such a ruiner of everything.
Totally. So you gotta get it out. So, you know, our guest, Mary Holland, also talked to us about her sleep routine.
Very snuggly.
Yeah, so snuggly. So let's hear from her.
Mary Holland.
Yay!
Oh, man.
So
let me
so many hats, you know.
You do. And you're wearing them all right now. You literally
I am.
Have four
and
tiny hats.
Every time Kate listed a hat, I took it off.
Took it off.
And underneath was a hat.
It's a good party
hat.
Trick.
Yeah, it is. Mary Holland, we need to just kind of roll through your bio that I wrote.
Oh my gosh, you wrote my bio?
I mean, I stole it from other bios on the internet and crafted it into my own personal bio.
Oh my God, I can't wait.
Here's where you know Mary from. Veep, where you played the greatest named character ever written for TV.
Oh, Shawnee Tan.
Shawnee Tan.
Yeah, that's a great name.
You played Shelly on Blunt Talk on Stars.
Yes.
You've been on Comedy Bang Bang.
Mm-hmm.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Mm.
The New Girl.
Mm-hmm.
The Good Place.
Yep.
Silicon Valley.
Yep.
And Parks and Recreation.
Pretty much all the biggest hits you can think of.
No. And Cheers.
And Cheers.
Frasier and Friends.
Yeah. I'm Ted Danson.
And you are a longtime performer at the UCB Theater.
Yes.
Where you perform with JV. You can be seen in Ass Cat.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, your all-women improv team. Wild Horses.
Wild Horses.
And yes, they also have a podcast called The Perspective. Mm-hmm. Mary, welcome to Forever 35.
Welcome. Thank you. I'm so thrilled to be here.
We're so happy to have you.
I was telling Kate that I've been listening to the podcast and I've really been gaining a lot of very helpful tips.
Well, your skin looks great.
It's dewy.
Yeah, you're glowing.
Oh my gosh. I guess I'll be here every night.
You're wearing a cool jumpsuit, which we've already discussed the whole story of the jumpsuit, which is very cool. And I was telling you, we normally kind of begin every interview with just our routine from our guest. Anything they do that kind of brings a little tender self-care or wellness into their life. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if you have one.
I do. I mean, I sort of have... I guess I could roll these into one routine, but in thinking about self-care, like I thought about when you emailed me about doing the show and you said you talked about these routines and you gave examples, I was like, oh my gosh, I don't really have all the things you listed, like taking a bath or, you know, that all sounds nice, but I'm not in the habit of mm-hmm. those being a routine. So when I think about self-care, I think my routine, if I had a hard day and I'm like, I got to do something for me, I got to do some me somethings, I will be sure to like either cancel or not have anything the morning, like the next morning or like first half of the day. Sleeping to me is probably my number one self-care. I really fight for it too.
Are you a person who needs like 8 hours minimum a night?
Yeah.
And do you get it?
Most of the time. Yeah, I think so. And I will fight for it. Like if I wake up early, I don't think, oh, cool, I woke up early. I'm like, no, no, I've got another few hours in me, even though I'm not tired. I feel very protective of my sleep. So I think that is really how I'll more often than not self-care, or like I will just climb into bed and I'll curl up with my phone and I'll read the news. Although recently that's become such a bummer.
Yeah, I was going to say that doesn't sound very calming.
No, but it was like something I would do, to just chill. Like I couldn't wait to climb in bed with my cats and just curl up and just have like no obligation, nothing looming over me, and just like curl up and read. Another aspect of my self-care, and I gotta be honest, is Sex in the City.
I can't stop
watching it. And even last night, like my boyfriend was out of town visiting his family, and I was like, oh, I'm going to come home. I'm going to put on Sex in the City and I'm going to eat pad thai. And this is going to be the best. And it was. I couldn't wait. And I've seen all these episodes a million times. It's so
crazy.
When
you do that, do you have specific episodes that you go to, or you just sort of randomly choose one?
I'm just
one?
Like, I go through, I watch the whole series.
Because it's all
on
HBO.
Start over again.
Right, you could just go on the HBO. Because I sometimes happen upon it.
Yeah.
Happened upon the second movie, and I watched approximately 45 minutes of it the other night. And it was the same thing. It was so comforting.
It's very comforting.
I don't know what it is about that fucking show.
I don't know what it is either. There is some magic there. Because even the first movie, and you know, the movies are a very different animal than the show. But it's still that same kind of, I'll have that on.
Yeah.
Like, I can't wait to just have that on.
Samantha was making terrible puns about her age and about sex, and I was
her
like,
delivery is amazing.
It's great.
It's so good. She is the anchor of that show.
Well, can I ask a question about why it's so comforting? Do you think it's because you know what to expect every time, and it's heightened? Like, you know it's going to be pleasurable to look at because their outfits are absurd and they live this unattainable life of luxury.
Yes.
And you know the quips are going to be eye-rolly, but still
we chuckly. Also now know the whole, we know the plot. We know who ends up with who.
Right.
And so there's something comforting about that. There's no suspense.
No,
we don't have to worry about Miranda and Steve. And, you know, like, it's just like,
yeah,
it's going to work out.
Honestly, at this point, I think a lot of what I find comforting is all those things you described. And then also the performances.
Yeah.
That, like, I find they're all so good.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
And I'm so, like, I find their choices so interesting. Like, you speak about.
Yes.
You hold forth about Samantha. And I actually, like, kind of came to this revelation about Kim Cattrall's performance. I mean, she's so brilliant in it. But she's actually really, like, she's, if you watch her carefully, she's sort of, like, doing, and I don't mean this, it's going to sound disparaging, I don't mean it that way, but she's doing, like, it's like you're like watching her in acting school doing a scene, because she'll sort of be like, an example I can think of is when she's trying to teach Charlotte about doing her Kegel exercises.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, I'm doing mine right now. And then she pauses. And then she thinks about it. And it's like a student in an acting class being like, okay, so then I'll pause and I'll kind of look up and I'll like think about it. Like,
see,
it's so orchestrated to me.
But I feel like that was so deliberate.
Yes.
Like way the script was written, like, imagine getting that script. Mm-hmm. And having to deliver those lines.
I know, it's true.
Like, she had to do it in this exaggerated way.
Yes. And I I'm not saying that it's not, like, I think you're right. Like, I think that character is that is what
right,
that
like
is.
A heightened.
Yes.
Yeah.
But she does it. I know what you mean. Everything, the way she executes it is textbook in, like, the best way.
Yes. It's like methodical.
Yeah,
it's thought through to such an extent where she's like, and here, I'm going to do this. Like, she just really, like, but it's so satisfying and brilliant and great.
The other thing that I love is it's kind of like Law and Order in the sense that there's all these cameos and random actors that show up in, like, every episode. And you're like, oh, he was on Sex and the City?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that.
It's a great show.
I also, it's soothing to me in the same way that The Devil Wears Prada, if I ever.
Yes. I have the same thing.
That's your movie?
Oh my God, I will put that on in a heartbeat.
Yes. It's so cozy to me. And I hated it when it came. I mean, it was
really like, I posted this on the Instagram. It was like one of our first Instagram posts, because I have this whole thing about how, like, when you first see the movie, if you're in your 20s, you sympathize more with Anne Hathaway. And then as you get into your 30s, you're like, she is such a brat.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You know, like, yes, Miranda Priestly, like, I get you, boss lady.
Also, like, the haircut I want has gone from Anne Hathaway's hair to Miranda Priestly's hair. Do you know what I mean? Like, as I get older, the more I'm like,
yes.
Mm-hmm. But that doesn't everyone have, like, the movie that you'll, this is talked about all the time, the movie that you'll watch no matter if it's on,
yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Well, automatically I am watching this.
Right.
Like, that is
Devil Wears Prada for sure.
So fucking good.
In college, it was The Green Mile, which is a pendulum swing in the other direction.
So if you just want to kind of, like, calm down,
yeah,
you'll get into bed, your cats are there,
mm-hmm,
and you'll just put on Sex and the City, and you're just like, oh.
Yes, I will truly relax. Or, well, because we don't have a TV in our bedroom, so it will usually, that's why I'm like, oh, it's like one or the other.
I see, okay.
But I really, I think my go-to, It's swinging back and forth between the two, but I would say probably curling up in bed and having my phone and reading articles and reading,
scrolling,
you know, scrolling. Ugh, not Twitter, I don't get it, but
it's good.
And Instagram can stress me out, but it's really just like reading news, like interesting news articles or something like that.
Do you, when you were talking about protecting your sleep,
mm-hmm,
and said you would clear the morning,
mm-hmm,
like if you had a rough day, you clear your morning, and then do you just stay in bed, or you do actually sleep until like 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning?
I will try to sleep as long as I can. If I wake up, you know I'm going to be trying to go right back to sleep. I'm not one of those people who's like, oh, I'm up. I'm like, no, that can't be the end of it. Like, I will cling.
How does that,
sleep.
How does it square then? If because you're an actor, and
yes.
when you have to work, I don't know as a person who's not an actor, but when you have to be on set, sometimes those call times are like 5 a.m.
You took the words right out of my mouth. Yeah, I was right? going to ask.
And I can tell you, it ain't easy for me. It's really hard. It's really hard. And also, and I'm sure anybody who has to get up early, and like before you get into the habit of it, then you go through that timeless, you know, conundrum of like, okay, I'm going to go to bed early. You get in bed at 10, can't fall asleep.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can't toss and turn, toss it. I have to get up in 4 hours. I have to get up in 3 hours. I have to get up in 2 hours. You know, that happens a lot too. But it is true. I'm not in the habit of getting up early like that. And it is a shock to my system.
Ugh. Do you do anything at night that helps you wind, like in addition to the like snuggling in and TV time or mm-hmm. phone time? Is there anything that kind of helps? Like if you did have to be asleep at 10 p.m. What do you do? Like, do you take melatonin? Do you take a
yes,
Xanax?
Is I will there take a melatonin. Yes. I'm so glad you asked that because I was like, I don't know, but I do. melatonin is a huge help. That has a big effect on me. And then another thing that I just recently like really gave a try and boy, did it work is marijuana tincture.
Me too.
Really?
Yes.
Oh my God. That stuff is effective.
It knocks me out.
It's called deep sleep, and it's like with a dropper and you like mix it with water. And I had been doing, cause I'm very sensitive to pot. so like, I don't really smoke it. And I was like, well, I'm going to do the minimum dose. And I was doing that for a while. And I couldn't really tell if it was working because I would also take melatonin. But then one night, like last week, I was like, you know what? I'm going to do like the max dose or whatever is 2 dropperfuls. I was like, I'm going to do 1
And you
dropper
put it
full.
In a glass of water.
Yeah. Okay. Like a little bit of water. You mix and drink it. Tastes weird. And I did 1 dropperful. Oh, the deepest sleep I've had in a long time.
Wow.
I slept like 9-10 hours. I felt so like when I woke up, I was still sleepy.
Was it
but
a
in
restful?
A pleasant way.
Yeah. Was it a restful sleep or did you wake up groggy like when you take cold medicine?
I woke up groggy, but it was like a cool groggy. Okay. Like it was kind of like a. Like a kind of like a buzzed groggy.
Ooh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I haven't had that. When I take it, it's also a very deep, I'm going to use the word thick, which is so
please
gross.
Please don't use that. That's really a
but
fun.
A thick sleep. Do you know what I mean? Where it's just,
yes,
you're
thick.
In it. You're nestled in. You're not even tossing.
No, you're deep. You're
yeah.
deep.
And I have found like when I would take a Xanax to help me calm down and go to sleep, I would feel the effects of that the next morning when I woke up.
Mm-hmm.
With this, I don't feel anything. I just like wake up refreshed.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's really great. I highly recommend it if you're having. And I say this also as a non-marijuana. On a
recreational,
yes,
yeah, me
person.
Too.
It really.
I was like scared to use it because I don't.
I was too.
I don't do marijuana. Don't smoke
yeah, I think
it.
It's
I don't do
it. Pot. I think that's how you say
that's
it.
Not the cool saying.
Anyway,
yeah,
yeah.
I was nervous about. Were you nervous about
I
trying
was too.
It?
Oh yeah, for sure. That's why I think I stayed so low on the dosage when I would before, but then when I went for it, it was so great.
So how often are you using it?
Not that often. I think it's only when I really am like when I've cleared my next morning,
yeah.
And I'm like, ooh, right. I want to really luxuriate in a deep, deep, deep sleep.
It shouldn't be so hard or expensive to find furniture that exudes elegance, sophistication, and a touch of luxury. And we're happy to say that today's sponsor, Article, makes getting quality furniture as easy as checking the pieces out online. Thanks to their online-only model, they have some really great, manageable prices. Article believes in delightful design for every home, so you can get to creating a space that truly reflects your personal style. I now have a space that is quite outfitted in Article, and I have to tell you how not just like seamless, but truly enjoyable the ordering and shipping process was. It was extremely fast. It's affordable, very convenient because I got to pick the delivery time, and they sent me updates every step of the way. It was like they knew that I was an obsessive checker on shipping, and they were like, we see you, we honor you.
Mm-hmm.
and we're going to support that journey for you. As Dory knows, I have a beautiful bench from Article right when you enter my home. I have some gorgeous planters. And then my favorite, my kind of like surprise favorite piece from Article are the blankets I have gotten for my sofa that my family all hogs. Oh. Including my dogs. My dogs love these blankets so they're like throws on our couch. The dogs try to monopolize them.
Dogs are such blanket hogs.
They know a soft blanket when they see one, I gotta say. So their endorsement, honestly, their endorsement says more than mine ever could. That's how soft these blankets are. Article has all kind of curated furniture from mid-century modern or coastal to industrial, Scandi, boho. So no matter what style you're leaning toward, they have got something for you. And you could really do like every room in your house in a different kind of style if you wanted to. And with Article's team of designers, no matter what piece or how many, you're sure to find the perfect balance between style, quality, and price. Article is offering Forever 35 listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim it, visit article.com/forever and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/forever for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
One of my questions for you is about self-care as a person working in the entertainment industry.
Mm.
And I ask from the perspective of knowing that this business is very heavy on rejection. And yeah. It's draining, emotionally draining, physically draining. And I'm wondering, as someone who goes through that, and you've also had a ton of success, but obviously I'm assuming you've had your share of like how do you stay a ground, how do you not get swept up in kind of the agony of being a working actor in Hollywood?
Well, I don't think that I don't get swept up in it, but I think what has happened, and this comes from many years of having dealt with it and tried to figure out how to keep a be as healthy as possible with it, is that I have kind of over time, and I don't even know if it was a conscious thing, but I developed this like zen is not the right word, but it's like a letting go thing, like where I like know that the pain of losing out on something or missing something or like not getting something or being rejected for whatever reason is so acute. But even when I'm in it and I'm deep in it, I'm like, I'm just going to really let myself feel this and I know it's going to go away. Like I'm very aware of the impermanence of it. And that kind of makes it, the pain is still there and it's still very, very real and like it hurts always, but I think I've just been able to be like, yeah, it hurts now, it's gonna be okay later, like it even when I'm in it. Does that make sense?
It sounds like a really good coping mechanism just in
for
general
anything. Yeah,
whether or not you're in the entertainment industry.
Yeah,
it also sounds like you've gotten to a point where you, at least to the extent that you can, like you don't take it that personally.
Yeah. I mean, I that's the thing, is I really think that I do, but even even in my lowest moments when I'm, I mean, I have a story that I can tell that happened recently where I really hit rock bottom.
Oh, yeah. You've got to tell a rock bottom story.
I mean, that's what we're all here for, right?
Exactly. We
all this on. Is the rock bottom podcast.
It's a great podcast.
I just kind of like, I don't know. So here's the story. Recently, I was at a festival, and at this festival, there was an after party. And at the after party, there was like a backdrop thing, and a photographer was taking pictures of people. And it's like it felt very professional as it can be in that kind of situation, you know, a really nice camera and whatever. So my friends and I who went there, we got our picture taken and we went in and, you know, we had a drink or two and then we were leaving. And one of our friends who we met inside was like, oh, did you guys get your picture taken? I didn't get mine. And we're like, oh, let's do it again. And so we all went in there and like gathered in and I went like this, like I was in the middle and I went like that, like a closed mouth smile, nothing crazy. And the photographer went, he like took the picture and checked it on the little screen and was like, oh boy, we're going to want to do that again. And I was like, all three of us were like, oh, okay. And he was like, here, I'll show you why. And he brought us over and he showed us the picture and was like, I mean, you here in the middle, like you can do better than that. And I was like, I truly in the moment, my heart sank. And I was like, sir, that is my face.
Oh, God.
I mean, I'm not making any crazy face. I'm truly just pleasantly existing in a photo.
Oh, God.
And he said, and I was like, and my friends who were with me were like, and he was like, God. I mean, you know, and then he took it again and he was like, let's smile this time. And then I think he sensed that it was like a little weird. And afterward, I like grabbed my bag and I was like, not trying to look at him. And he said, I mean, no, I get it. I look really bad in pictures too.
Oh my God. God.
He's like, I can't take a good picture sometimes. And I was like, this is so. I was fighting back tears the whole ride back. And as soon as I got back to my room, I like walked through the door and started sobbing. Aww. Because it's that thing of, I was like trying to pinpoint it in my head as I was sobbing, which was this, I spend so much energy trying to quiet or like logic away the voice in my head that says, you look weird.
Mm.
Like you don't look great. Like you look, things don't work, your face is too much and your hair's too fine and you're like everything's like and by fine I mean thin and like it's like you don't nothing you're kind of a Picasso is like what I feel about myself. And I spend so much energy being like, I know that, okay, I know I'm being like, that's like the bad voice in my head that's telling me how ugly I am. And I know that I fight against that all the time. And so when someone from the outside is like, no, no, what you're thinking is true, it's wrenching. And even in that moment, I was having such a good cry about it. I was sobbing like I haven't sobbed in a long time. And even in that moment, I was like, I mean, I know this is going to pass, that I need to just be in it. I'm just aware of the impermanence of things. Yeah. I think that is the thing of like, because you can't not be. Nothing is permanent, and you really learn that when you're dealing with rejection on this level.
Good Lord, though, there's nothing fucking worse than some idiot affirming the demon voices in your head.
Because
that's
know.
Happened to me too. I mean, I feel like that's yeah. a very relatable thing to happen. Is you work. The fact that you are working so hard to, because those voices are liars. Like we all intellectually know
right.
the negative stories we're telling ourselves are not true, but it's very hard not to believe them.
Ugh,
and so,
yes.
oh, that's just,
especially when you're
awful.
In this industry that is just so much about how you look.
Right. I know. It sort of made me feel like, that the which, you know, again, it validated the little voice in my head that's like, you don't really have business being a part of this world. And the other two people who are in the picture with me, like, were just like I felt like there was no concern on their part. And this is how I aspire to be. No, like, just sort of existing and being happy and, yeah, like, not thinking about it. And I was trying to do that. And then in that moment was told, ooh, you should think about it.
Oh, God. And then, like, showing you a photo, yeah, of yourself.
As where I'm just, it, where I'm just, I'm not doing anything weird. I wasn't blinking. I wasn't, it was so, it was so strange. But yeah, having an idiot for, like,
having
be
an
like,
idiot. Yeah,
it's really tough.
But also letting yourself cry, because I often find when I have a good cry over something, I'm crying. There's a lot of things that, yeah, the cry is about, yes, maybe, that I don't even know what,
right,
they are.
And that just triggered it.
Yes. Yeah. And it just, yeah, and it just, it all, it can, I mean, crying is so good for the soul.
It's so good. It hurts sometimes, but boy, it is it good. You got to do it.
I hope you snuggled into that hotel bed after that guy said that.
Yeah.
Slept for 40 hours.
I hope you had a tincture.
Yeah.
I didn't have a tincture. Damn it.
God.
No, but it is that I think I've, like, it, with this and then just rejection and auditioning and trying to be an actress is like, you, yeah, you're just like, okay, I need to let myself feel this.
Yeah.
And then you move on. Like, you don't hold on to things. You can't, you just can't.
Oh, that was beautiful.
Yeah. I need to do that.
It's, yeah, the knowing in a terrible moment that this too shall pass,
yes,
is that's a big deal that you were able to have that perspective.
Well, and it's not even that calms me or makes me feel better in the, yeah, moment. It's more of just, it's truly just me, just like my logical brain being like, this isn't going to be forever. And it doesn't, like, really have an emotional effect in that moment, but just knowing, like, I know it's going to end. I know I'm going to, like, wake up the next morning and it's not going to feel as intense. And, like, I just kind of know that in the back of my head, not that it comforts me at all in that moment, right, you know?
This is a superficial segue, or about a superficial topic, but this photo aside, is doing red carpet stuff and doing the step and repeats and having to be presenting yourself in that way, the kind, mm-hmm, of, like, glamorous side of it. Is there fun in that? Like, is it?
Oh, I love it.
Is it fun?
I mean, get a camera on me. I love it. I mean, obviously I could be doing better.
An open mouth smile next time, Mary.
I guess he just wanted to see my mouth. Yeah, I really love it. I mean, that's kind of the glamour and the fantasy of it that was so, you know, a part of when I was growing up, like, thinking, oh my gosh, like, getting to be an actress and what goes with that. And yeah, I love it. It's really amazing.
Do you occasionally ever do your hair and makeup yourself for red carpet events?
I have done. Yes, I do.
I feel like I once emailed you about a photo I saw and you were, yes, like, I did it all myself, which is, that's hard. Like,
really
having,
hard.
Yeah, having covered red carpets,
it's tough.
Yeah, they're grueling.
Well, I have learned my lesson that maybe I should have someone. but, you know, can be a little expensive.
Russell Brand is performing.
Oh, Russell Brand is performing. yes, I think I have done, definitely priority for me is always hair, because I have the hardest time with it. And then makeup, I'll like do my best at. But yeah, there's no comparison when you have a professional do.
Yeah, they are.
It.
Have you learned, like, tips and tricks from professionals?
Yes, I really pay close attention whenever I'm in the makeup chair and they're doing, because even when you're like a character who doesn't wear much makeup,
right,
like, there's,
you're,
there's
wearing
still
a lot of makeup,
yeah, there's still a lot involved, and it looks really fresh and beautiful and flattering. And so I'm always paying attention to techniques and, like, different art, how different artists approach it, and like what, like, I feel like a lot, the thing I was the most shocked by was like, I'm not in the habit of wearing eyeshadow very much. And I really learned, like, oh, I don't need to be afraid of these darker shades. Like, they can really work in a way that's actually quite natural and flattering and light feeling. Mm-hmm. So I have definitely learned that. But techniques, this is a, I mean, I don't know if you guys have talked about this, but this is one thing I learned that I was like, well, this is a revelation, is doing eye makeup first before you do anything else.
Before foundation.
Oh, you do,
what?
Yeah. Some artists will do this where you do the eye makeup first, because a lot of it will like drop onto your face, like eyeshadow will like fall down, and then you like can clean that off. Then you've got your eyes done, and then you do foundation and everything else after.
And now, have you adopted that?
I have done that, and it's weird because it's kind of hard to tell if you're looking good, right? Like by when you're doing your eyes, and you're like, oh, I just kind of look like sort of a sunken, like it's hard to tell if the makeup's good, but I think the more you do it, then the more you like get used to it. But yeah, that was something I thought was a really cool thing.
Is there a product that you have started using?
The Giorgio Armani Luminous Silk.
Oh,
I
yes.
mean, that was a life. I couldn't agree with you more. Life-changing foundation.
Life-changing.
After we discussed that on the podcast, I was like, fine, I'll buy this.
You were a skeptic.
I was.
Really?
And then I bought it, and it's like putting your skin onto your skin.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. It's like nothing I've ever tried. And the color match is really good too.
Yeah.
I think. So...
And is that something, do makeup artists use that on you?
Yes, that's where I found out about it was from, I think the makeup artist on Blunt Talk used it. Yeah.
I think it's also a good red carpet foundation.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure. It's good for everything.
I've heard through the grapevine. Yeah, I love that. I've really struggled with acne in my life, and very much later years, like the cystic ones, the ones that are very, there were like years there. It was so bad. I went and got like laser treatments for my acne. I tried to like help that, and it did help for a while. And then they started coming back again. And only recently has it been calm, but that makes me very nervous.
Is there anything that you use that helps it, calms it down?
No, I've tried so many things. I think like the there was a moisturizer that I started using. Like I would read all these like articles, and I would Google cystic acne and how to deal with
You're in bed with your cats.
That exactly.
Googling cystic acne.
That's me. You just described me.
That's your self-care.
That's my self-care. And I would read all these tips. I'd try things out and nothing was working. It was so frustrating because I just get these bubbles under my skin and they'd be these hard, like
yes.
horrible, hard,
worst.
Terrible, painful, worst. Can't get rid of them. They're so, you can cover them as much as you want. There's still a bump on your face, like a big old bump. I started using this moisturizer. It's $15. And it's called La Roche.
La Roche Posay.
Yes, La Roche Posay B5. So Cicaplast or something like that. B5. I mean, it's so amazing. I feel like that did it for me.
Wow.
It is kind of a thicker moisturizer, which I would be so scared to use.
Is it a day or night thing?
It's an all day, every day, baby. I do it day and night. I do the same cleanser and the same moisturizer day and night.
What's your cleanser?
It's a Dermalogica. I've also played around with a bunch of different cleansers. This is actually one that I came to by default because I had bought a big bottle of it and like tried it once and was like, that's not helping, and kind of stowed it away and then never threw it away because it was so big. And I was like, I got to get to this at some point. When I ran out of other cleansers, I was like, well, I'll give this a try. And it took a bit. And then now I feel like it's like a clay cleanser. I think you can use it as like a mask.
Right.
I think I just need more heavy duty stuff than, like, I'm so scared to use that because of the possibility of breakout, but I actually think that I've been needing it.
Yeah.
And it has helped a lot.
Good tips. We'll look those up and we'll put them on our website. So
I'll send them.
We'll find it. Google will lead the way.
Google knows what it's doing.
Mary.
Yeah.
This has been so great to have
you. Oh my gosh, I could talk for hours.
I loved so much what you, the story you shared was really powerful.
Yeah, yeah.
It was.
Oh man.
And so relatable. I mean, I've never had I don't know if it's been a photographer who's pointed it out, but certainly
yes,
there have been trolls in my life mm-hmm. who have noted the things that I also hate about myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a hard...
Well,
hard moment.
Well, here's a real quick funny one. I did a Funny or Die video with Rebecca Romijn where she was a hand bra, and I was like her client who was like, yeah, it's kind of hard to like move in the world with the hand bra, but you know, she's really nice. So I was just there like with her hands on my chest, and it was very fun. But but there was a comment on the YouTube page of that video where someone was like, is that Bill Hader? I thought that was, I was like, you
oh
know
my
what?
God.
You know what? That's a good one.
That's a compliment. I mean, your Stefan impression is also very good.
Yeah.
I feel like you yeah. could just jump into any of his roles.
I really could. Yeah.
Oh my God. People so anyway, are, you know,
trolls are the worst, but you know what? Sometimes they got a great sense of humor.
Well, on that note.
Oh, Mary, thank you for having me so much.
What a treat.
Yay. Mary's so cozy.
She's the best.
Yeah, she's the best.
I love talking to Mary.
So, Kate, your intention last week was also sleep related.
It was about getting this bedtime routine yes. under control and keeping my phone out.
Sounds like you're on the road.
I'm working on it.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a cup of my golden milk tonight.
I want some. I might go buy
some. It's lovely. It's so great.
Where did you get it?
Sprouts.
Sprouts? Oh, I live right by a Sprouts.
Yes. I think you can get it at Sprouts.
Great.
Yes, that was my intention last week. I'm going to keep working on it this week.
Yes.
I am going to clean out my car.
Oh.
My car is as disorganized as the rest of my home, and it's disgusting. There is so much rotten food and snacks and
but
art.
That's got to be so hard with kids.
It is. They're pretty good. We have a car garbage can, and they're pretty good yeah. about throwing stuff into it, but it's just... You know, like somebody eats a banana in the car and we put it in that trash can and 3 days later, I'm still too lazy to remove the bag of trash. And,
right.
And there's just, you know, piles of papers and gum. And I feel like if I'll declutter it, I'll feel better in
yes.
that space, especially because we drive a lot here. I'm driving around all the time. So
right.
I need to declutter the car.
I mean, I don't have kids, which makes things a lot easier just with a lot of things, but also with the car. But I am a pretty cluttered person in general, and I really make an effort to keep my car clean, and it makes me feel good to like get into my clean car.
Yes. It's like
now I don't wash my car. I don't wash my car very often.
That's okay.
But I keep the inside like pretty clean.
Also, you have that moment where someone's like, can you give me a ride? And it's yeah. like, oh sure, welcome to like my garbage disposal. Don't mind the 32 like rolling water bottles on the floor.
Yeah.
Anyway, tell me your intention for this week.
So
well, last week.
Last week, my intention was to reach out to old friends. And I was texting with my oldest friend, and we were going to have a phone call this weekend, and it just didn't happen. And so I'm hoping we can hook up next weekend. And my intention for this week also has to do with my car, which is road rage.
I want to hear more.
I feel like I get so agitated in certain situations. One of them is when I get cut off. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, you motherfucker. I can't believe you cut me off. Like, I get really angry.
Do you ever trail the person after they cut you off?
No, I'm not insane.
I do. I am. But I get so angry. I mean, I understand where you're coming
it's
from.
So,
I get
or like,
furious.
Or like when you're driving on one of those roads that has parking along the side of it, and then there's a stretch that doesn't have parking and someone goes and passes you.
This happened to me tonight. I was furious and I honked.
Yes. It's so annoying. And it's always someone in like a Dodge Charger.
This was a Mercedes in my experience.
Okay. I mean, or a Mercedes. But like it's so rude. I find it so rude. And I'm just like,
What, you think you're better than the rest of us? You don't have to obey the rules of the road? You don't want to wait with the rest of us? And like, I work myself up into a lather. And it's like so counterproductive. Like, who cares about these motherfuckers? Like, it's one car getting in front of me. Like, why do I care? So that really annoys me. And I want to just like let it go.
Okay, I like that.
And then the other thing that really bothers me is when people don't signal.
Oh, me too.
I'm like, would it fucking kill you to fucking signal?
Well, it's dangerous. We should also stress, like, Los Angeles, I've lived in Boston and New York, and those are notorious bad drivers. Nothing is as bad as the drivers in Los Angeles. We are the worst.
Yes.
It is unbelievable. Nobody uses a signal.
Actually, I disagree.
Oh.
Have you driven in Florida?
Oh, not recently.
Okay. They are the worst
drivers.
Is that
just because it's a lot of elderly citizens?
It's the worst of both worlds. You have insane young people who like literally don't signal and drive like 90 miles per hour. And then you have old people who shouldn't be driving and are driving like 30 miles per hour in a 55. And you're like, this is actually unsafe.
It's dangerous.
So Florida's worse.
Okay, fair.
But LA is bad here. And
it's dangerous.
It's dangerous scary. And people don't signal. And like, thank God my car has the thing where it automatically stops.
Oh, mine doesn't have that. That sounds like magic.
Oh, it's great.
It's like a Hogwarts car.
Yeah, it automatically stops. And if you're really close and it's really dangerous, it sucks. The seatbelt sucks you back.
You know,
so you don't
I
get
need a magical
so
car.
You don't get whiplash.
My Honda CRV is just like, good luck out there.
So like, yeah, I'm probably not going to I'm not going to rear end anyone. Like, I think it's actually physically impossible for my car to rear end anyone. Thanks, Volvo. But it's still dangerous.
No, it's
like
still
I could swerve and someone could hit me.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's scary.
And also I just get pissed off. Like, I'm like, would it kill you to signal? Just tell me where you're going. Like, why?
Who's got the time, Dora?
So anyway, as you can see from the rant I just did, I feel very strongly about this, and I'm trying not to feel as strongly about it.
Well, you can't control anybody else's driving.
Exactly.
You can only be a safe, conscious driver yourself.
Right. And I'm not, and I think the other part of it is
conscientious.
Conscientious. I think the other part of it is I'm not a great driver.
I'm not either.
And so the fact that everyone around me is a horrible driver, but in a different way, like, it's all just like a lot. And it's just like very stressful. Thankfully, I don't actually have to drive that much. I don't really have a long commute. But like, when I have to go to my IVF appointments, they're in Brentwood and I inevitably have to go at rush hour. And just like driving, those are the journeys that like really get my blood pressure up. And I'm trying to just be like more zen about it.
Could you listen to like classical music or something to calm you down in the car?
I could.
You should.
Yeah. I'm usually listening to NPR, although often when they start talking about our president or politics, I change the station because that also like gets me agitated. So yeah, I should listen to...
Can I recommend an artist?
Yes.
G-Eazy?
I thought you were going to be like, Beethoven.
Tell you what, G-Eazy, still listening to G-Eazy over here.
I'm proud of you. You're loyal.
It gets me going, though, in the car. Oh. I agree, listening to talk radio gets me stressed out.
Yeah, so, all right. So that's my intention. I'm going to try to have less road rage, and we'll see how it goes.
I do have some classical recommendations I will send to you. But that's a good listener request.
Classical recommendations?
Yes.
I love the Brandenburg Concertos.
There we go.
All right. Well, I think that just about does it for this episode, Kate.
Everybody, go get some rest.
Get some rest. Signal.
Signal. And you know what? Ask before you buy a lipstick how much it costs.
Yes. Let this be a lesson to all of us. Ask the price and don't be embarrassed like I was.
Until next time.
Indeed.
Forever 35 is hosted and produced by Kate Spencer and Dori Shafrir and produced and edited by Sammy Junio. Please leave us Apple Podcast reviews. It really helps people find the show.
And next week, we hear from Kulat Vilaysack about
oh my gosh, about astrology, about
show running her own show
about the Lao community in Los Angeles and in entertainment, and about self-care. And she was such an amazing interview.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so excited to have you guys hear it.
Okay.
Talk to you next week.